Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to All Motion. The next guest I have, he is the first guest that is part of our rebranding strategy we have for going into 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Ayala. Buenas tardes, señor.
Buenas tardes, señor. How you doing?
Good, good. Please let the audience know who you are and just a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely, man. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me as a guest.
Absolutely.
The whole setup is awesome. Before this, and you know, the lunch and everything was awesome. And also, thank you for hopping on a live. You know, I don't have the setup that you do. You know, this whole cool, you know, equipment. But we had some pretty good conversation last night on live on IG, and I want to appreciate you for that. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. So just, you know, give the audience a little bit of background, and we'll get into it here in a minute. Just a little bit about who you are.
Okay.
And where you're from, and like I said, we'll get into it.
Absolutely, man. So I am from Paraguay. I immigrated to the U.S. in 2001. My parents got recently divorced. My mom decided to come to the States. To be quite honest with you, I always had the American dream. I always say that I will come to the United States and live in the U.S. and be a business owner. I always had that in my mind. And I used to, it's crazy, bro, because I used to imagine this, you know, in bed at night. And when people tell me, you know, that, oh, you can't really attract what you want, I think that's BS, because I attract that into my life. And everything that I ever wanted to be, I always think about it, and it's becoming reality. You know, so came to the States, 12 years old, went to middle school, went to high school, played soccer in high school, and getting ready for graduation. My mom is like, okay, so you ready for college? I'm like, oh God, here we go. You know what I mean? That wasn't my thing. Then did two semesters in culinary school, two and a half, and then I was like, I'm out. Then started working with my stepfather. He had a pizza joint at the time in Rockville, Maryland. Some stuff went through that fell through. Then I worked with them at, took a year off from working. You know, it's funny that you mentioned mental health. I was going through, you know, some things. There was a lot of things going on in my family and myself. So I took some time off and I was just chilling, you know, for like a year and a half. Then I started working with my stepfather at Domino's. And did that for about a year. And then after that, my sister introduced me into the car business. Started as a cashier, did that for 2 years. Then I did service advising for 2 years. And then I did car sales for 6 years. And then I decided to, you know, make some changes in my life. And, you know, I went into entrepreneurship.
There we go.
Yeah. We're here now.
We're here now. So not to backtrack, two things I want to cover.
Yeah.
Obviously, the audience needs to know.
Yeah.
Where you and I met. Would you like to share that?
Absolutely.
It's your interview, sir.
Absolutely. Well, to be quite honest, guys, I really don't remember the place, but I just remember that we met out partying. It was probably a Flash, maybe.
Flash, or, and then it might be or Sunday, maybe public.
Public bar, yeah.
Sunday nights?
Yeah, maybe? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Definitely, either or. It was okay. Probably at, Sunglass Sundays. don't remember much, you know, from those, it was one of those days, man. I was really into partying a lot and,
right.
Yeah, that's where we met, man. And then we kind of like clicked and then we just kept in contact.
Well, you said something interesting last night on your IG live, mm-hmm. which is actually very interesting about the fact, and this is a really good point to bring it up. When you meet out people in that lifestyle and partying and things of that nature, mm-hmm. they're not really, you're never going to remain friends with them people. I'm saying in the long term.
Long term.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you said you caught something about me that stuck out. Could you please, the audience?
Elaborate.
Yeah, talk about that again.
So, I don't know, man. For me, it's like, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But I do believe in energy. You know, I'm very into energy and connections with people, chemistry. You were more like a, you always been more quiet. I'm more like
a lot of people disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah, but okay. I seem quiet.
I'm more obnoxious.
We're both extroverts. You would agree with that, correct?
I'm definitely extrovert. You consider yourself extrovert?
I mean, a lot of people that know me would disagree. I mean, maybe. So when we were out, I seemed kind of to myself and quiet.
I don't know. I guess because you were in a relationship and you were more like, you know.
Here we go.
You were just like, you know.
The skeletons out
you
now.
Were busy.
We open a closet. I'll you bring the skeletons out.
You were busy, bro. You were busy. But more me, I was more wild and, you know, talking to everyone and, you know, going around and all that
you,
stuff.
You definitely were. You have a niche for definitely networking.
I guess.
No, you do. You're really good at it.
I didn't know that until eventually. Now it's like I'll connect you with anyone, you know,
Absolutely. Anything, nothing illegal.
But
so, yeah, that was pretty much it. But then about two, three years ago, I called an Uber and you were my Uber driver.
Yeah.
And that's how we reconnected. I had your phone number actually.
Yeah, bro.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
So I think we probably met I think 2003. I moved down here after graduating my undergrad from Pennsylvania. I'm still in the military at that time. 2012. I'd say 2013 was around the time.
Absolutely.
So that being said, fast forward, I think it was about 2019. It was about 3 years ago. Called an Uber, went to a friend's house. And you were my Uber driver.
Yeah, it was 2019. Absolutely. I remember that. And I'm not sure why I thought you lived in Maryland. But when I was pulling up, I was like, that's where I picked him up at. And that was fun. It's funny because right around that time is when I quit my job. It was within that time frame. I quit my job and I started as an entrepreneur and I was doing Lyft on the, you know, part time basis.
So Lyft and Uber.
No, it was Lyft.
Oh, my apologies. I thought it was Uber.
No.
It was Lyft. It was regardless, it's you picked me up.
Yeah.
So excuse me, it was Lyft.
Yeah.
Okay. So we reconnected.
Reconnected and you know, I think I called you one time and, you know, text you here and there. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, you know, a couple years went by and now I see that you were doing your podcast and, you know, I started to follow you on social media and then I was like, hey, man. And then we had the conversation over the phone and I was like, man, I love to see people like this, you know, doing something and getting out of their way and just trying something new. And I love to help people like that because I've been there and there have been so many times that people just, you know, say no, didn't even give me a chance to listen to me. I'm not trying to be a victim, you know, right now, but I'm just saying. So whenever I have a chance like this, I'm like, absolutely, brother. What can I do to help you? You know what I mean? Without expecting anything.
Absolutely. And so we just get right into it. Like I said, for the audience, you are the first guest. So we're rebranding.
Thank you. I feel special.
No, you're not the first guest, but we're rebranding. And in terms of, okay, for the new year, we interviewed somebody late back in January. Yeah. But it's about resilience. And we're going to get right into it right now. So we're going to start with Paraguay. That's where you're from, correct?
Absolutely.
And you moved here to the States when you were 12 years old. Can you fill the audience in? Not to get really into detail, that little background, that process, and then growing up and then transitioning and moving eventually to the States when you were 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. So growing up, you know how a lot of people say, hey, you know, my childhood, we struggled a lot financially and, you know, people go through things and especially financially when that's typically what you hear, you know, when people tell their story. My parents, from my father and my mother, they come from humble beginnings, my family back home. But fortunately my father, he started working. He is a very, very hard worker. So is my mother. Very, very hard workers. Sometimes I feel like, man, I need to step my game up because I look at my father, I look at my mother and they're going, you know, they're still going hard in the paint. So I need to come through, man. I have no other choice than succeeding. And I need to step my game up, you know, work ethic wise, just to, you know, out of respect for them and my ancestors, you know. So anyway, I was born in Lambaré. That's like a suburb of Asunción in Paraguay. You know, growing up, I never really noticed that we were, you know, pretty okay financially. I wouldn't say we were, you know, hella rich, but we were, you know, financially good, better than average, I would say. My father started working at 9 years old. He worked his way up into the company. He started as a, you know, like an errand boy, and he ended up buying the company. So yeah, going to private school, Catholic school, since you know, kindergarten. Middle school, I was I don't know if I I guess my dad and I, we used to watch a lot of fighting movies, like mob movies, gangster movies, fighting and stuff like that. So I was a little aggressive growing up, you know, and I loved fighting. I loved fighting so bad that fourth grade, they told my parents, they're like, dude, this is Mr. and Mrs. Ayala. This is the last year your child is going to be coming to this school, because he's not allowed next year. So I got kicked out of, found another school, did fifth and sixth grade, half of seventh grade. And that's when I came to the States.
So I look at the, some facts. It's, the regional ranking in South and Central America is Paraguay is 16.
For
economy.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the economy. Yeah, it's just 2021. It's heritage.org. Mm-hmm. 2021 Index of Economic Freedom. Mm-hmm. So it's placed overall in the world. It looks like it's 62.6. And in country, in South and Central America, it ranks 16. Mm-hmm. Did you experience any poverty or family or just, I'm not just, because.
Yeah, No. That's a great question. I appreciate
it. And I brought that fact, though, because I want to, you know, it's moving forward. We want to make sure that when we speak and just in general, we should have facts, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I love that. So I appreciate you asking that. One of the things that I'm very, very grateful to my parents is the humility that they installed in us and my sister and I. We always had, you know, nice clothes, nice shoes, and, you know, we had a car, you know, went to private school, all these things. But my father always told me, and my mom and my dad would always say, Oscar, just remember one thing. Money in this life always comes and goes. Money is a tool. It's a tool. But don't get too caught up in that. There's a lot of people that are not as lucky as you are. And I remember we were little, I would say between 6-7 years old. And my dad will buy a bunch of toys when it comes to, when it came to Christmas. And also we have the Day of the Kings. I'm not sure if you ever heard of that. So the Day of the Kings, it's like when Jesus was born, there was the three kings that brought him, you know, gold and gifts and all that stuff. So we believe in that. And those two in Paraguay, so we get gifts, not just Christmas, but the Day of the King, I believe is January, someday in January, January 6th, I think, something like that. And my dad will buy gifts and we will go to the countryside. And my great grandma, she lived in the countryside, but we will go further down, you know. And I remember seeing kids, you know, just wearing shorts, no shoes, no t-shirts. They live in a hut, kind of, you know. And they will come and they'll be so excited. They'll be so excited, man. They'll be so happy to have these toys that I would destroy sometimes, you know. Because I was always very aggressive, man. And I used to, like, break my toys and just for fun, you know. And I will see that. And then they will bring us like a glass of water. And my dad will say, look, they're bringing you the best glass that they have of the, like the water that they have. That's something, you know, they don't use that glass water. They use like the metal waters, the metal cups. You know what I mean? So this is how they're showing you gratitude. And, you know, so I'm very, very grateful and thankful to my parents for always, you know, doing things like that. And, you know, just teaching us humility, because we were very lucky and blessed to live the way we did. But there was a lot of people in our country that didn't have that type of luck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, you and I know some of the same friends down here in the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And we have a mutual good friend that I'm really close to. Mm-hmm. You know who that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He talks about El Salvador.
Yeah.
And, you know, how I mean, not to compare and contrast, a lot of countries in Central and South America are very violent. And it's unfortunate. Yeah. Salvador is a beautiful country. I have mountains. I've seen pictures. You know, and unfortunately, I've never been to, I had a lot of opportunities, just never took them to go. So my goal is to go travel South and Central America. And a lot of Americans should.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, there's some beautiful things, beautiful places, like the Mayan, some of the Mayan pyramids.
Yes.
In Guatemala.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yeah. Mexico, Guatemala.
Mexico. I'm sorry. Thank you. Mexico,
yeah,
Mexico, Guatemala.
Yeah. All that area.
The whole Central America.
Yeah. Also
South America.
Yeah. Like, you know, Peru, they have their, you know.
And it's really cool. I mean, dude, like you're in the center of South America, Brazil. My brain just took a stop. What's the big holiday in Brazil?
Carnaval.
Carnaval. Yes, sir.
Carnaval.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't care who you are in the world. Everybody should just go to Carnaval. Yeah,
yes.
Have you been?
I haven't.
But you've been to Brazil.
I've been to Brazil, okay. Yes. I just haven't been to Carnaval. I haven't been to Rio yet.
You got the best of all the world right there. You got ceviche in Peru. You know what I'm saying? You got the best of the... You live the life right there, living in Central South America.
Yeah, I've never been to Peru yet, but...
We're gonna go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put it on the bucket list.
Absolutely, man. I do want to visit...
Chile?
Chile, yeah. I have a lot of friends.
They have some of the best wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we drink. We don't drink, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So I have a lot of friends and contacts all over South America and... You know, that's one of the things that I will do is travel in South America and just different places.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You have Argentina right there as well.
Argentina,
some of the best beef in the world.
Absolutely. That can be debatable with Paraguay, though.
Tell me, share. No, I'm not trying. We're going to get to Paraguay in a minute. I'm going to get to Paraguay. I want you to share some. We love food and we want to talk about food.
No, absolutely.
So I want you, I was saving you last for the best for last.
Yeah.
Tell me what some of the really, really good food and cuisine comes out of Paraguay.
We're very into steak, just like Argentina. Where we do a lot of asados, carne asada, we call it asado.
Can you not, I'm going to interject real quick. So that's why we have like a foca de chao.
Yeah.
Can you, that so the audience that does not know,
yeah,
can you break that down and explain? Because that's not just a Brazilian thing.
No.
So break it down for our audience and your audience and everyone, the culture, the history of that.
Yeah, so I remember being a little kid and we went to this huge restaurant. It's called Paulista Grill.
Paulista Grill.
Yeah. Okay. And I randomly met this Puerto Rican guy. First time I ever been to a DC United game.
This is in Paraguay.
No, here.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is here.
Sorry. A couple months ago.
Oh, okay. My bad. Okay.
Yeah, I went to the DC United game with one of my closest friends, Dimitri. And I met this Puerto Rican guy and his wife and we're talking. He was like, wait, you're from Paraguay? And then Paraguay is the only country in South America that has two original languages, like legitimate languages. I'm not talking about, what do they call those?
Dialects.
It's not a dialect. It's a language. Like in school, they teach you Guarani in Spanish, right?
So it's similar to like in Brazil, they only speak Portuguese.
Correct. In Brazil, they speak Guarani too in the border.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This guy starts talking to me, say things in Guarani. I was like, whoa, that's crazy, man. And then he told me, he was like, man, one of the best restaurants, the best steak I ever had. And he works for the DOD.
Okay.
Yeah, he works for the DOD. And he was stationed at the embassy in Paraguay.
Okay.
And he was like, I have some family that live there. I was like, Puerto Ricans? That's crazy. I didn't know.
Yeah,
you know?
That's interesting.
And he mentioned that restaurant. And he said... He said that food there was amazing. So pretty much the way it works is you walk into this restaurant, you get there, and then there's a little card on the table that has a red and a green side, right? So if you put the green side on, the guys would just keep coming with like the steaks on the, what is that called? Like on the metal thing?
A kebab? Yeah, I know. They put vegetables on there as well.
Yeah, but no. But for us, it's just the steak.
Oh, you got ribs. Oh, wow, yeah.
So you just got a big slab of meat, and they just go by, and they're just cutting it, right? Cutting it and just giving it to you. That's pretty much what it is. Amazing, amazing steak. So now they have those all over, and now you have Shima, you know, not to bring no names, you know. they're not paying you for that. You know, but there's a lot of restaurants like that, Fogo de Chao, like you said, and it's very similar to that, to what we have back home. So when it comes to food, the main thing that we love the most is steak.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to go. Say one more time, the restaurant in Paraguay.
Paulista Grill.
Yeah. Paulista Grill. So everyone it's out there. And we'll do like a snippet. We'll get a special from you. We're going to do like a food. We'll do another interview, just food, okay?
Yeah. Oh, man, I love cooking. I love eating. You know that.
I mean, I feel like such an American when I say that I've just been to Fogo de Chao. I mean, a lot of Americans probably have not even eaten a true. I mean, Fogo de Chao is the closest thing. There's another one in D.C., actually. Our mutual friend told me, you know.
Texas?
I think so.
Yeah,
it's one. It's a Brazilian, right?
Yeah, Texas to Brazil.
Okay.
And there's Shima here in Tyson's. Have you ever been? It's really close.
It's amazing. I feel guilty. I haven't been.
Yeah, it's good, bro.
So Shima.
Shima, yeah.
I'll take my mom next time she comes down. She doesn't. She's not a big meat eater, but
yeah.
I took her to Fogo de Chao one time, and she just hit the what do you call it? The salad bar.
Oh yeah.
Because their salad bar, they got tabbouleh. They got Mediterranean.
Oh yeah.
Middle Eastern, they have tabbouleh.
Yeah.
They have, you know,
they have
everything.
They have it all. So it's great. Yeah.
So let's just get right into it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When you came here, have you ever experienced any racism or prejudice, you know, ever throughout school or throughout, you know, since you transitioned and you migrated to the States?
I would say, I mean, we all do, right? So when I came here, it was, you know, you're a kid, man. You got to fit in. And I came here, like, you know, my haircut was different from everybody else. The way I dress was different from everybody else. My shoes, you know, I was always kind of dressy type of person. I don't know why. I always loved to dress up. And then I would go to school like that, you know, with like a nice sweater and like, and you know, some nice boots, you know, and people look at me like, what is this dude doing? You know what I mean? But I just remember growing up once again, I would watch gangster movies all the time. And it fascinated me how, you know, like the mobsters dressed. And I always liked that, man. So coming to the States, it was like, man, I had to change the way I dressed. And, you know, I would watch myself. I would look at myself in the mirror and I would practice, you know, I would look at people in their mouth, the way they spoke. So I would go home and I would look at myself in the mirror and I would practice and I would like, you know, use my tongue a different way. So I was always very intentional about fitting in and learning English and being able to communicate with others. That's one thing that it took me 6 months. My English was beat, but I was able to, you know, communicate and talk to people. And then eventually, you know, I spoke very good English. I mean, decent, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it were you learning English in Paraguay prior when you knew no English prior?
I mean, we had classes. We had classes, English classes, but it was like once a week. It's not like every day.
You weren't fluent when you prior.
Oh no, I just knew. Thank you. Yes, no, thank you. I don't speak English, and that's about it.
How long did it when you were 12? So you're young still. So it's easier. I tried to. I'm still eager to learn. Mm-hmm. My Espanol is no bueno. Sí, es poquito.
Está ¿sí? Más o menos.
Más o menos. Poquito, sí.
Yeah.
Yeah, sí.
But going back to what you said about, you know, experiencing racism, you know, in school sometimes I feel like, you know, because I didn't speak English or I didn't speak, I didn't speak good English, I feel like I would, you know, people would try to bully me and stuff like that. But, you know, I was like, I never had that, oh my God, I'm getting bullied type of attitude. I was like, okay, what can I do to get better? What can I do so they don't bully me? You know what I mean? I don't know why I always had that kind of mindset, like not so much feel like a, you know, like a victim, but what can I do to be a victor instead? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I started to fit in, you know, dress like everybody else, you know, cut my hair like, you know, how most people would do. Spoke English and, you know, I was always able to connect with people. You know what I mean? So
yeah, gift for gab.
I guess.
I do as well.
I guess. So, but then, you know, I did realize that sometimes there were other racist people. But in my neighborhood where I lived, there were whites, there were everything. African-American,
Latinos,
Arabs. Yeah. It was very diverse in that neighborhood that I lived. And I was really good friends. One of my friends, his name is John, with his family. And I feel like, you know, that helped me to, you know, feel like, oh, they took me into their house. And, you know, we became really good friends with his grandfather and everybody. So, obviously, yeah, I did experience some, you know, moments of, you know, racism that I felt discriminated. But I never really, I was like, okay, what can I do to be able to connect with people? That was always my thing. How can I connect with people? How can I, you know, solve a problem? I love solving problems, you know? So I never really paid too much attention to that, you know, racism or anything like that. I had my experiences getting pulled over, and when I was like, you know, late high school, graduating from high school, I had like long hair and, you know, like cornrows. I used to wear cornrows and stuff like that. And I'd be driving my first car was a 1984 Mercedes 300 SD. It was a diesel, a boat.
Oh, what was it again? What line of Mercedes was it?
300 SD.
And that was, you know, super diesel. The diesels, yeah. It was a sedan.
Yeah, it was a sedan.
I know that BMW and Mercedes, the diesel you can go really far on.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
And they'll last forever.
They're like tanks. What do you think? Tanks and trucks, they're all diesel, man. Yeah. So they last longer. So I was driving this car. I had subs in it. You know, I had subs in it. I had black windows, like tinted out windows. And I would be driving home from work with my cornrows, and I'm wearing a tank top, and I'll get pulled over. I got pulled over one time by a state trooper. And one thing that I learned is I always be respectful to people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, that's one thing that I was pretty hot-headed, but I always learned that when it comes to authority, if you just, you know, kind of like you're respectful, I learned that you can get out of a lot of stuff if you're just polite and respectful. So I got pulled over, and the officer was like, hey, man, you know, he was very polite. He was, you know, he was a white officer, a state trooper, Virginia state trooper.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And very polite. And I was polite. And I was like, you know, this and that. I remember I ran out of gas, and he pushed me with his car to like my parking lot. Because it was like I was taking the exit where I lived. My house was literally off the exit. And he was like, thank you. I was like, thank you, officer. And I looked like a hoodlum. You know what I mean?
Right.
Tank top, you know, Hispanic with the freaking cornrows. And I've been pulled over so many freaking times, man. And, you know, I've gone away so many times from trouble just by being polite and just being polite and being respectful. So I guess it all depends on how you react.
That's awesome. So, you know, you and I share a lot. Like you said, this is the first, we're rebranding. This is the first, not the first episode, but the first episode to this whole new movement.
Yeah.
The whole new episode and how we're strategizing and moving forward.
Yeah.
We share a lot, and getting right into resiliency. I've been down a lot. I've been up a lot. And I have a good friend always tell me, he just jokes around. And he's actually speaking, you know, it's interesting. Paraguay, he's from Colombian. And he has a very interesting story. He'll be on here soon as well. He just tells me, he's like, Jake, you're one of the most resilient people I ever met in my life. You know, and a lot of it, just to, you know, just to keep it straight. And a lot of it was to myself, you know. It wasn't anyone else, you know. It wasn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want
your decisions.
Yeah, I make my decisions. I can't put it on anyone else, you know. And that's absolutely. And we talked about that when we were having lunch. What do you think were the darkest moments in your life that you can remember? And then I'll ask the follow-up to that. Can you mind sharing some of those?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I will say the darkest moments of my life was in 2007. Coming to the country, you know, it was tough sometimes, but I was very strong because I was excited to, like, you know, for the future. And I was excited for, you know, the way my life was going and everything that was happening, you know. So my mom would be, you know, my great grandma passed away, and we could have gone. At that moment, we couldn't gone to the funeral, and we were very close to her. But you know, struggling financially coming here. That's when I really learned what struggle is, man. When I came to the States, you know, my mom working for Papa John's as a pizza maker, making $7.25 an hour with two kids, you know, paying $500 for rent a month. And she still had to put food on the table. At that moment, I couldn't work yet because I was about 12 years old. Legally, I couldn't. So, you know, but things came together, you know, things came together. I was strong. I was always strong. My sister, you know, supporting my mom, you know, talking to her and be like, no, mom, we came here to succeed. And, you know, it's okay. Everything is going to be fine. We always had that kind of mindset until, remember I told you that my stepfather lost the business?
Correct.
Yeah. So he lost the business in 2008. His partner, he was 51% over 49%, and just screwed him over. Sold the business, and you know, he started all this nonsense, you know, that saying that he was embezzling or whatever, and we were stealing from the company. It was nonsense. It was all crap, you know. And the guy just disappeared. At that time, my mom was pregnant. She lost a baby. You know, she lost a baby.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. And around that time, you know, I dropped out of college. Just a lot of things happened. And it went back to, I remember, you know, we would look for money under the, you know, in between the couch, you know, coins in the cracks of the couch. And it was a struggle, man. It was a struggle. I don't know what happened. I kind of like, I would say I was definitely depressed, but I didn't show it. You know, I was sleeping, you know. Once we lost the business, I was sleeping. I would party. I would hang out. I didn't have a phone. I had no money. You know, it was tough. And I was just like in this la-la world that that's when I realized that I started to use alcohol. And I mean, I started smoking marijuana when I was like 15 years old. So I would drink and smoke and, you know, party just to not face reality.
Numbing.
Yeah, I was numbing myself.
We use those things to numb.
Yeah.
We don't want to deal with stuff. To avoid that.
Yeah. And then it's crazy because I always dated up. I always dated girls that were a little bit older and always were doing better than me.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah. So at that time, I was dating this very nice young, very nice girl. And she was working for... for the government, the department that actually does clearances. What's the department?
That actually does the clearances?
Yes.
Well, I used to work for DIS. That's the Defense Information Security. Defense Information Security.
I think, but there was another acronym.
JPASS was the actual, that's actually decommissioned, but I think you're referring to a government agency?
Yeah, a government agency.
Not the DOD.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, because they all do their own. Every place has their own. They do their own clearance. They do their own process of doing clearances.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she used to work for one of those agencies,
right?
And
she did. She's probably an FSO, facility security officer.
I don't know.
I get it.
I don't know. So she was making great money. You know, right. She was a graduate. She graduated from Marymount. She was doing great, and then I was dating her, and you know, low key. That would, like, I felt less than because, you know, she was doing better and she was working and whatever. And then I was just like, you know, F it, just partying, doing my thing. But then eventually she helped me, and just being associations are super important. I would say that I started to working again, and I got out of it. You know what I mean? But then I stuck around with the alcohol and using marijuana and then eventually other substances that, you know, a lot of people don't know. And I've never been public about it, that, you know, I actually had a drug problem, you know, for many years. And many people didn't know that. Some people knew, but you couldn't tell because I would be good at hiding and I would work out. You know what I mean? And, you know, but I really had a problem because I didn't want to deal with my issues, and I just wanted to numb myself, and, you know, I didn't want to face reality. You know what I mean? So that was one, you know, around that time. And then, you know, I was doing okay, but then I was still using alcohol and, you know, other marijuana, other substances. And then eventually when I decided to change my life, and when I was 2019, I'm sorry, when I was getting ready to turn 30. So I was 29, right? It was 2018, November 20, so, you know, October 2018. I was, that was one of my wildest years, like having fun and, you know, making a lot of money and just blowing it and, you know, just going crazy, right? So I was getting ready to turn 30. And then I was like, I can't live like this anymore. Everything was just like, I saw that things were getting bad with work and, you know, some friends. And I was like, I'm in control. This is my life. This is my life. I need to change. And I just didn't know what to do. And then I started going harder with like alcohol and, you know, drugs. And then one day I had an out-of-body experience at the club. Like, I got out of work at 6 p.m. I got some stuff, and I finished it by 11 by myself. So I was at the club and I was like tweaked out, bro. And I was drinking and, you know, whatever, and a little bit, but I was tweaked out. So I was just sitting on the couch, and out of nowhere, dude, I just felt like I started to levitate, and then I would look down and I saw my body just sitting there, bro. Mm. And that moment, you know,
it's deep.
Yeah,
it's really deep.
I was like, whoa. I came back to it like a couple minutes after, and I was like, did I OD? What happened?
Mm.
And then I started feeling like I was talking to myself. I don't know if I think God used my voice to talk to me and said, Oscar, what are you doing with your life? Why are you intoxicating yourself like this? You're killing yourself. If you don't change, things are going to get really bad.
Mm.
The ball's in your court. Literally, that's what I said to myself. That's what I heard.
You think that in the time when you were your father's business, you think those time, well, that time referring to right now, that definitely your rock bottom for you?
Yeah, those two.
Those two. So I'm glad. I just want to clarify. That's
so
all.
So yeah. when I was like 20 years old, mm-hmm. right before turning 21,
right.
19 to 20, that was my rock bottom. And then
when you had that out of body experience, well,
yeah,
almost 30.
Yeah, that time.
I just want to make sure, but you know, I'm tracking the time.
Yeah, for sure. So I was 29 years old. That was like, you know, everything seemed okay financially and everything. You know, it just seemed fine.
But you didn't care about yourself. You didn't care about yourself.
I just didn't think about myself.
Well, you didn't care because I've been there. You know what I mean? I've been there.
Yeah, I didn't care.
I've been there.
I was just like, you know, sleeping around and doing drugs and drinking and blowing money, disrespecting myself. I would say that, you know, the money that we blow, it's not the money that we blow, man. It's the time that we invested to earn that income, and we're just blowing it. That's no respect for yourself, man. That's what I learned, right? So that happened, right? And then I had a conversation with my boy Junior Reynaldo. That was on a Saturday. On Monday, he was like, "Hey man, are you home?" Because we lived in the same building down the street, actually. And he was like, "I want to come talk to you." I was like, "Yeah, come through, man." So I had a friend over. We're getting ready to smoke, you know. And he came through, and he was like, "Bro, I want to talk to you." I was like, "Okay." So I told my friend, I was like, "Hey, you gotta go. You know, I want to have a conversation with my friend. I'm so sorry." Excuse me. And we started talking, and he was like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Everything is great, man. You know, making money." Like, he was like, no, "What's going on?" He was like, "You remember what happened that on Saturday?" Apparently, like, I remember when I came to it, I didn't like the feeling of me like realizing the reality. So we're at the table. I grabbed the bottle Goose, bro, and I just chug like half of it.
Oh my God. Because
I just wanted to, I didn't like that feeling at all of reality.
Man.
So then, man, and I was, I blacked out, obviously. We went to, we were at the club, and then we went to eat. And then once we were at Mario's here in Arlington, you know, one of my friends were talking, and this guy, he's like this nicest, funniest guy. He's talking and joking with some girl. I was so out of it that I'm a big, you know, I like to protect women. So nobody's going to disrespect a woman in front of me. Now is like, you know, I won't just punch somebody. Before, I would do that, you know. So I like slapped my friend, thinking that he was doing something. I don't remember this. My boy told me, Junior, you know, he told me this. I was like, what is going on? So then we start talking. We talked for 4 hours, man. 4 hours.
And you don't remember any of it?
The conversation? No. That was on Monday.
Oh, I apologize.
That night, I don't remember much.
I'm sorry.
He told me, and then eventually, you know, I kind of remember.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, but most of it, I don't remember. So we had this conversation, and he was like, what do you want in life, man? What do you think your purpose is? No one has ever, I never thought about that. What's my purpose? I felt so empty, man. I was like, what's my purpose?
Right.
And he was like, so what do you like to do? I was like, well, I like sales. And he was like, what else do you like? I was like, I love helping people. And I was like, he was like, well, you need to find a way that you're going to help people and you're going to make money. And I was like, how? He was like, well, that's on you now. He was like, but you know, before anything, any of this happens, any of this, before we go any further, you know what you gotta, not what you need to start doing is what you need to stop doing. Mm. And sometimes we focus too much. I need to do this. I need to do this to get better. No, it's about the bad habits that we need to fight to stop right now. Like those little things, you know? And then I noticed, I was like, yeah, I need to stop doing, you know, drugs. That's my first thing. And then that day, like at that moment, I made myself and God a promise that I'm never touching that again.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
And then things started to fall into place for real. Like within a month or two, just things started to fall into place. And, you know, it's crazy, man. It starts with us, man.
It does. So we got to roll out of here pretty soon, but I just have some pretty good. Okay, we still good? Okay, cool. Next two are really important, and there's kind of like growth process through this whole thing.
Yeah, so.
I love you. Yeah. Transparency is awesome. Honest, man. Thank you so
any
much.
Any questions, man?
Thank you for that. That was awesome. You know that was mean, awesome yeah. share. So absolutely. Thank you. So I had a good friend tell me this, and I'll never forget. And this is just what you think about this. When I say the brain is the devil's playground.
Yeah. Idle, and I don't mind.
Yeah, so it means when you're not busy. So my friend referred that to me before. I've had those moments in life where, you know, we do things. And what I mean, you can answer any way you like, but yeah. For me, I can tell you real quick, for me, mm-hmm. I've had those moments where, you know, I've let craziness, you know, I've let myself, as my good friend said, this is a different friend that said, yeah. You know, I'm the most resilient person he ever met. Mm-hmm. Why this is so powerful, you being in this, like I said, this rebrand in this episode, mm-hmm. is to really bring to light. You know, for me, I've had a lot of downs, a lot of ups. We shared about the business last night on your IG Live. That tore me up. And then I told you I got into trouble before Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, that chaos. I created so much chaos. Me, no one else in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's the whole transition to Afghanistan. And then, you know, that was God, that karma. Do you see what I mean? That's what I mean by, like, I allowed, you know, I mean, I was busy with the business, but I allowed these things to happen to me. So just, you know, wanted to see what you thought about when I say the brain is the devil's playground and what that means to you.
Yes. So, you know, one thing that we were talking about earlier, you know, overthinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's bad. It's bad for me.
We're in our brain.
And yeah. Yeah.
Like sometimes I wanted to do everything so perfect. I wanted to know everything about every single thing before I make a move. You know what I mean? That's the devil, man. Getting in your head, stopping you from taking an executive decision.
Taking action.
Just boom, just get it done. And we'll learn as we go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that was one thing huge about me is like I was super, like I just wanted to know everything about everything before. Now I learned to, bro, just jump. You know?
Yeah.
Is it within your values and principles? Would it hurt your health? Would it hurt anyone? No. Okay, what's the worst that's going to happen? Life is all about chances, man. So if we're an idle mind, is the devil's whatever that actual...
My apologies. It's the brain or the mind is the devil's playground.
Yeah, but there's another one that talks about the idle mind. It's like the devil's whatever. I can't remember the actual quote, but it's just like, you know, sometimes, man, we can't just sit and do nothing.
I found one.
Go ahead.
Not to interrupt, but it's point. An idle mind is the devil's playground. That's one.
Yes.
Was that the one you're looking for?
That's what I'm talking about.
So it's the same concept.
It's very similar, you know, very similar concept, that, you know, depending on how you look at it. But a lot of times it's like, you know, if we're not doing anything, if we're not working out, if we're just like...
It's like a car that's idling. We just... A good point or example is a car. It's idling. It's not moving, right? It's like just sitting there.
Yeah, it's sitting there.
To your point. I mean, that we were talking about.
Yeah. So we're just sitting there either overthinking or not taking action or, you know, not working out and not challenging ourselves. And, you know, that's what the devil wants, man. That's what the devil... Well, the devil wants you to be stagnant. The devil does not want the best out of you.
Yeah.
So guess what? It's going to use your own little fears, your own little... the own little things that you know, sometimes we let ourselves stop. We stop ourselves by just idling and not just boom.
And to my friend's point, like the one I told you about, he's like, Jake, you get in the way of you.
I did too. And to this day, sometimes I still do, bro.
And that leads me in. I'll let you go. Leads me right into the next thing.
Yeah.
Is you hit it right, the nail right on the head.
Yeah. We're good with time, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Before I get to resiliency, we'll do that one first. Yeah. So, what does resiliency mean to Oscar Ayala?
Can you just, I know what it means, but in your words, what do you mean by that?
Sure. So my friend, the one I told you about that mentioned it to me, I self-inflict. Mm-hmm. Okay, what that means is that no one ever, I mean, I can't say ever, but from 95%, in my opinion, I've did these things to myself.
Yeah.
You know, getting in trouble, drinking too much, just doing things that were reckless behavior, falling down, just not being responsible, losing relationships, like hurting people, just things like that, just setting myself up for failure, and being really to be just really, it's being selfish, like falling down, maybe I failed a class in school. So I was in college, I got back from games. I got up, I was very upset about it. Mm-hmm. Took it again. Trouble, I told you about drinking and driving before.
Yeah.
And then just spiraling. Obviously just some employment things that happened before. Just being honest, you know what I mean? Just not working out. And then me taking that experience and just going down a hole and just being by myself and isolating and just saying, F everybody.
Yeah.
Not getting back up. But, somehow I bounced back up and I've had a lot of down moments that I self-inflicted that I was in I was like, this is, effort.
Yeah.
But I managed to climb back up and get back on the horse. And a lot of people tell me, they're like, dude, you should not be here.
Not especially after we talked about everything.
Yeah. And a lot of that.
Combination.
A combination of a lot, just the whole, everything.
Yeah.
But it's just something inside of me. And that's why I do what I'm doing, because people like you. Mm-hmm. This hopefully will get out to someone and people will be like, wow, like these guys did it. I bounced back from all kinds of situations. And you know that,
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, all the times, just out and craziness.
Absolutely.
And just, it's seriously, I don't mean to use this example. This is probably, I'll sum it up here and I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Almost playing Russian roulette.
It is.
Seriously, with life.
Yeah.
And people tell me, like, dude, like, not a, you, F a cat with nine lives, Jake. You. Freaking, like, you've been like four cats. You came back to life like 10 times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So does that kind of help?
Absolutely. So for me, I would say sometimes I would let my emotions get the best of me when it came to like falling, failing, not things not happening. So I would just step back and just wait it out instead of keep practicing, keep trying. And I'm still fighting that, man. I'm still fighting that because sometimes it's like you put so much into it and then it's okay to let off the gas a little bit. But eventually you got to hit it again. Otherwise, it's going to take time for you to get a momentum. So one of the things that I learned for me, for myself, is that, whenever things are not going my way, whenever I feel like, I'm not winning at whatever I'm trying to accomplish and I'm not getting it, is that just lay off the gas for a little bit. Just let the car, it's like the car. You let it keep rolling for a little bit. And eventually, hey, snap out of it, bro. It's time to get back on the gas.
So what made you, and I call this the bounce back. How are you able to bounce back after being knocked down time after, like me, I mean, dude, I can, you know, being able to, if you tell the listeners, your audience, our, my audience, our audience, our audience, friends, right? Yeah. Our friends or people out there that are struggling.
Yeah.
What did Oscar Ayala do to be able to bounce back from being down time and time again?
Okay. So learning that, okay, if I've been through hardships before and I was able to get out of it, why can I do it again?
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, correct?
Absolutely.
Right.
And also we got to learn from our, you know, our experiences.
Past experience.
I wouldn't say mistakes.
I don't call them mistakes. No. I did that for a long time.
Yeah.
Learning experiences.
Right. So, okay. So you fell. How long did it take you to get back up? What made you get back up? What's your why? A lot of people, we don't think about this. What's our why?
Exactly.
What's our purpose in this life? Like, what's like the, because I, like I said, I believe in God. So I'm going to bring a little bit into God into this. Like, we are one in three. Is it the 3 or 30? I think 1 out of 3 trillion sperm is the hits the egg. Look that up. 1 out of 3 trillion, I believe it is. And for you to be the one that hits that, and then your mom being pregnant and you being born and being able to walk and think and talk and being smart, we're not just born for no reason, man. So once we've learned that, there's a purpose for our life. Okay, what is it? What do I want? What do I want my purpose to be? You know what I mean? So when it comes down to that, I learned that, hey, you know what, man? All right, what do I want? How bad do I want it? What am I willing to do for it? What am I willing to do for it? Now, I got to step up. So for me, it's like, all right, I'm feeling down or whatever. I need to step out of it. And another thing that helped me the most, you know, when I decided to go into entrepreneurship is having a mentor. Having a mentor that's been there, that started just like me, that went through the things that I'm going through. So it's, you're talking to someone that's been there. It's not just anybody. You know, I have this one thing that, this one saying that, look, don't ever ask for advice or take advice from someone you wouldn't trade lives with.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean? Yeah. You know, so for me, mentorship is huge.
That's,
also reading books. I was looking at that.
Bro. I'm not gonna lie. There's a lot there. I've read a lot, some of them, there's a lot there that, and we'll talk after.
Yeah,
I need to get it. Yeah, I told you.
You got to read it again.
Yeah, no, I haven't read all those. That's point. I'm not gonna. You know, I told you that's part of my, you know, part of my thing. You know, and definitely speaking about those books. So we got some interesting questions coming up. So I hope you're prepared.
Let's go.
So. What differentiates you from you? You're probably like, what does that even mean?
No, I love that. So, number one, sobriety.
I like that.
Sobriety, that's a huge, huge, huge difference from me, now me. Also, you know, getting closer to God in my case, you know, spirituality. That has helped me tremendously, you know what I mean? I go to a Christian non-denominational church. And I love how they use the word of God with today society, and it just makes it simple to understand. You know what I mean? So, the first one is sobriety. Then it was, getting closer to God and mentorship, whether it's from my mentors or from books, you know, reading, you know, philosophy, psychology, you know what I mean? Learning from people like, you know, some awesome books, and learning from people that have worse experiences than us, man. Cause sometimes we were like, oh my God.
So, to that point, someone has it worse than us.
Always, man.
That's a good point. Thank you for saying that.
Always.
And we all, especially everybody in America, We understand. You know, I just saw something really cool today I want to share. Mm-hmm. I was in the gym. I took a picture, actually. I thought it was really dope. A white woman, or doesn't matter. It's a woman white walked past a lady that was sleeping on the bench outside the Gold's Gym, mm-hmm. right? And she turned back around, and she had a $20 bill in her hand, and she put it right in her, like where the lady was sleeping, in her bag or something.
Wow.
I took a picture and I just thought, you know, to what you just shared right now, yeah. how that, you know, someone has it worse.
So many people, man.
You know, and, you know, we need, you and I and everybody else, you know, we complain about stuff. I mean, I listen, like I said, I'm a work in progress. Like I shared that last night.
We all are. We all are.
You know, I you know, we all find something to complain about or upset about. But there's people in, like we shared those countries last night, part of the all continents, South and Central America, Africa, parts of Asia, the Middle East. They're either oppressed or, you know, couldn't even imagine what it would be like to go to a Foco de Chao.
Yeah.
People didn't even have food for the day to yeah. eat or running water, clean running water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's awesome that you shared that.
Yeah, man. So, and another thing is this, it could only, like, you know, there's people that, you know, sometimes we talk to, how you doing? Oh,
yeah.
You know, I'm going through this. Okay. Do you have a roof over your head?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Do you have a job? Yes. Are you paying your bills? Yes. Are you healthy? So far, because if you keep thinking, you keep, you know, thinking the way you do, guess what? You're going to get sick, you know, because you're attracting that nonsense with, oh my God, snap out of it, man. You're in America. It's up to you. Get up. Stop drinking soda. Stop smoking cigarettes. Well, I love cigars here and there. Thank you for the cigar, by the way.
Welcome.
You know, but, you know, stop doing all those bad habits, man. And you'll see how your life starts to change once you make the decision to put in a little grain of sand
right.
difference in your life. You'll see how things get better.
Awesome. Love that. Change the directions a little bit. We're going to end on a positive note. That's what I love to do that. So yeah. It's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
And to real quick fact check, this is khanacademy.org.
Yeah.
It's how many participate in the egg, meat, sperm.
Yeah.
You were kind of close, but kind of not close.
Okay.
But it was a lot.
All right.
It's one egg, so one egg per menstrual cycle for the female.
Yeah.
And then sperm, it's 250 to 280 million per ejaculation.
Oh, million. Oh, million. I was way off.
It could be billion, but still. this is at khanacademy.org, which is .org. It's official. It's close.
250 million.
Talking about that leads me right to my next point.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so being from Paraguay,
I
had fortunate enough to my time on this earth. And this is, I'm going to be clear, because my whole thing is, you know, interviewing these women I've shared with you. I have a doctor come up.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing just women that are very, ideas, like I told you, raised by two women.
Yeah.
I want to give back. I want to have, you know, as many women I can have doing big things. Yeah. And if you know a woman that she was about three, four episodes ago about being independent.
Yeah.
She had an amazing, amazing, amazing episode.
Yeah.
She just shared. So we want to do that. She, you know, to share about women.
Yeah.
But what I want to get into is Latina and Hispanic women, okay? Now, I'm not going to compare. You know, I'm not saying I have a preference. All women are beautiful, and like my mom said, they're smarter than men, so we'll just leave it at that.
Absolutely.
So no women, this is a non-disclosure.
Yeah.
No woman can try to, you know, come slander me now,
because
I love all women. But we have Hispanic and Latina.
We're talking about that right now.
Okay, and we're talking about, in my opinion, they are spicy as all hell and can be sometimes, like all women, a little crazy, but they do have a spice.
We're crazy too, man.
Well, men too. I
had some crazy episodes.
We all have. I've had plenty of crazy episodes.
Talked about it.
Yes, we talked about it. But what, in your opinion, being from Paraguay and then... could you shed light? Because I've had men when I was in college, and I have people told me, they're like, what's it like today, Hispanic, Latina, da-da-da? Mm-hmm. I was just like, hey, man, just, you know, I'm not saying they're intimidated. They just wanted my opinion. I just said, they're amazing. They're amazing women, just like all the women. But there's the distinction, and I would like you to elaborate on that.
Yeah. I find Latinas and Arab very similar.
Yeah. I know some...
They're very similar. So, like you said, I love all women, all colors.
Yes, we're not gonna, exactly. All women.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And I do think that they can be smarter than men sometimes because of the way they think. I'm a firm believer that a man with the right woman can go straight to straight to the stars.
Oh, that I agree with that 100%. It's a team. It's a team. Absolutely. Partnership.
I agree absolutely. With you. Yeah. Absolutely. So I do believe that 1,000%. Here's my hypothesis, if you will call it that. When it comes to Latina women, I feel like their dad like babies them a little bit. So they like treat them like, you know, princesses, like from what I've seen. And it's either dad or sometimes, you know, they don't have their father in their life, like in every culture. But I feel like the relationship with their father is crucial in a woman, just in a woman in general, in a woman's life. You know, so I was reading a book and it was saying that when you're dating, when you're looking for a boyfriend, like a woman is looking for a boyfriend, find out the relationship with their mom. How is the relationship with their mom?
I think the dad is also very important, though, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
You mean in a guy's?
No, I believe that like it for a woman.
Yeah. I was gonna go there.
I'm
yeah,
I'm
yeah. Sorry, I didn't want to just go on woman. You know,
no, I'm
women.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
So yeah. So I was gonna say. So I was saying that you know if you're looking you know to find out a little bit more how your relationship would be with a guy that you you know if a woman wants to date a guy, find out what the relationship with their mom is, right? So now same thing with women. You want to know. You want to date somebody and you like that person. Find out what their relationship with their dad was, if the dad was even there, you know, because that has a lot to do with how you're going to get treated.
Absolutely.
That's where I am. I stand with that. And, you know, when it comes down to, you know, them being spicy and, you know, I would say, I guess it's in our blood, man. We have, you know, we're mixed. Typically, we're European.
Mm-hmm.
Depending where you stand, typically it's European, mm-hmm. whether Spanish or you
yeah, because most countries that settled South and Central America,
yeah, absolutely, you know, anyway. Spanish or you know Italian down south, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of Italians went to
even parts of Africa as well.
Yeah, absolutely,
South America,
absolutely, South Africa too. You know,
yeah, no, I'm just saying parts of Africa settled parts of South America.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, of course, yeah, because yeah. of the trade, the
exactly.
slave trade, and
exactly.
all that.
Yeah.
So it's like when you look at cultures, it's like you have indigenous. Warrior blood
right,
in you.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. No, I like that how you did that right there. That's awesome.
What
man.
Do you think?
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? And, you know, that's what I believe in, you know?
Right.
So I feel like some that's why you see a lot of Latinas being, you know, spicy,
yeah.
and, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's just like, you know, short fused because of what we have in our blood.
For the streets, pop off. is that pretty accurate with that
yeah.
for the streets?
It's about a pop off, you know. So that I believe that's what it is relationship, you know, with their parents growing up and also just where we come from, you know, lineage and blood wise.
And the next thing is I don't know how long it's been. I love salsa. My salsa game actually, you'd be kind of
it
impressed.
Got better.
It's always I was actually all right. When I first moved down here, I was you know the friend, he's Colombian. We'd go out. I took lessons. Mm-hmm. I'm okay.
Right.
I can hold my own at Cafe Citron and El Centro. And
I've been
to Miami. I think maybe one time I was maybe not really there, but people laughed at me probably a little bit. Some of the Latinas, the Cubans, because people don't understand this. There's Cuban salsa. There's Colombian salsa.
Peruvian salsa?
Peruvian. Paraguay, I probably assume, right? And there, I mean, all over Central and South America and other parts of the world as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, Spanish, you know, Spain. But what I want to ask is kind of like a multiple, like not multiple questions, but what did it, every time, I know some of the words, I love reggaeton. Mm-hmm. I love Celia Cruz.
Yeah.
I love, you know, even Mark Anthony and Pitbull, and they mm-hmm. did that song, mm-hmm. the feature in Reign Over Me.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Luis Miguel.
Yeah.
Maluma.
Yeah.
Obviously Daddy Yankee. Hector, is it Hector Lovo? Did I say that right? Hector, he's a salsa. He's a salsa.
Hector Lavo.
yeah.
I was like, Hector Lugo.
That's gringo.
Like Hector Lavo.
You say gringo, right?
What?
Gringo.
Gringo, yeah.
Gringo,
so,
yeah.
By the way, sometimes, you know, Americans feel like that's a word that it's like, you know, to offend. It's not.
Okay, yeah, please.
It's not a word to. It's like Yankee. Back home, we call white Americans, we call them gringos,
right,
or Yankee.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like right. a white person. That's what that means. It right. doesn't mean there's no like offensiveness right, or anything like that. But some people think it's offensive, but I don't think it's an offensive way.
So the name those Ricky Martin, Maluma, like I said, yeah. Prince Royce.
Yeah.
Music, I mean, for me, I mean, I like all genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty open to, like, you know, hip hop, mm-hmm. everything like that. Mm-hmm. R&B. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, I used to sing all the way. Fun fact, if you don't know, I used to sing.
Oh, really?
From grade school all the way up to college, actually.
Shoot. So, come on. just kidding, man.
I can do a little bit. No, this is your interview. I'm not going to do all that.
It's all good.
Spotlight's on you, sir. Right, but no, so. Point is that I love the music, all. Different types of Latina, Hispanic, yeah. Like I said, salsa. An interesting one I learned about when I was talking to someone was cumbia.
Cumbia, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't think I would know that, sir. Yeah, I know cumbia. A little about cumbia.
I love cumbia.
I pronounced that right, correct?
Yes.
Cumbia.
Cumbia, perfect.
You said so perfect. Let's talk just a little bit about that. All these singers I name, I know it's we can go on forever, but mm-hmm. just kind of summarize what I was talking about and what that means to you. Why is the music so passionate? And you can feel like a lot of the singers, Ricky Martin, Maluma, Daddy Yankee, mm-hmm. Mark Anthony, mm-hmm. Shakira.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the female powerful singers that are in, you know, and by the way, Shakira, a lot of people don't know, she's actually Lebanese and Colombian.
Yes.
She's sick with it. She's bad. She's a bad woman. I can say bad, you know, bad. She's a bad woman. Please, sir.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, music in our culture, it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, poverty. There's a lot of, you know, people going through struggles, you know, back home, you know, back in our homes, back in our countries, you know, in Central, South America, Caribbean. So I believe that music, people are so passionate about music is because that's an escape.
It's a vehicle, right?
It's an escape right. at that time that you're just having a good time, having a couple of drinks with your friends, with your family, dancing.
I just you know feel so mean? Welcomed. You know what I mean? Yes, I've always, even all my friends and yourself and everybody, we don't really go, it's off the dance, we're women and stuff. But, but no, you always feel, some of the girls I talked to, dated, always feel welcomed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you, regardless of who you are.
Yeah.
And the music does that to you.
Yeah.
You're drawn
in. It connects people. So that's what I feel like it's very passionate. Just to be clear, because I know there's going to be people out there.
Trust me, I get critiqued all the time. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Have you ever heard, there's a song by Mark Anthony, and he would say at the end, he would say, como dice Celia, my English is not very good.
Yes,
looking.
Sir. I know that line.
Right?
I know that line.
So you know what I say?
So tell the audience that never heard it. I understand, but tell the audience what that means to Celia.
So he's talking about Celia Cruz.
And Celia Cruz is, who's Celia Cruz?
Celia Cruz is a very, very well-known singer from Cuba. Yeah.
Okay.
I love her music, by the way.
She's amazing.
I have an old soul, man. So I listen to like Hector Lavoe. I listen to like old school salsa, you know, from like the 70s, you know, and before that. And, so she came to the States obviously and, you know, she always say, you know, my English is not very good looking.
And then he would say,
Celia says, you know, my English is not very good looking. So for me, what I say is like, my salsa is not very good looking. You know, I need to get my salsa to match my looks. I'm not trying to be cocky, but you know.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But I need to, that's one of the things that I need to focus on is because I love salsa. I love the rhythm. I love the, you know, the beats of, and the sounds that comes from salsa and I need to work on that for sure. You know, I'm putting myself out there. Hold me accountable.
No, you're good. Close it out here shortly, sir. So what would you say to people that are out there that are struggling, that are really, they feel like they're at the end? And, you know, and thank you so much for your share.
Mm-hmm.
And time is amazing.
Yeah.
That are really, really going through it. You know, could be anything, drugs, you know. It could be, you know, horrible and then unfortunately just don't want to live.
Yeah.
What would you say to help or people they could do to bounce back like you and I have done.
Yeah. I will say, just like our idle mind can be the devil's playground, you can flip that. Mm. Your mind is a very, very powerful weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Imagination is everything, man. So I would just, what I would do is, you know, imagine yourself the best you. What car would you drive? Where would you live? What state? I mean, Florida, of course.
Yeah, of course.
You know, what does your house look like? What does your wife or husband looks like, or whichever way you go, you know, your partner, how do they look like? What would you be doing? What would you be wearing? You know what I mean? What would your kids be? Where would you be traveling to? Once, you know, a good friend of mine, his name is De La Torre. He's in California. And one time I was down, man. I was down, and he was like, Oscar, what are you grateful for? And I was like, man, I don't want to talk about that right now. He's like, man, he was like, no, tell me. And I was like, you know, I was like, well, I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my, you know, my mother. I'm very close to my mother, by the way. I'm grateful for, you know, my stepfather. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for being in this country. I'm grateful for this. And I started to say it faster. And he was like, there's a lot of things to be grateful for, right? I was like, yeah, man. He was like, so how do you feel now? I was like, oh, snap. I feel better. So I feel like, number one, gratitude. Be thankful for everything that you have, who you have in your life of value, you know. And if you don't, find some. Find reasons to be grateful. Gratitude, it begins with gratitude, right? From there, okay, cool. I'm grateful now. Okay, so I'm going through the struggle. How bad do I want to get out of it? Do I want to get out of it? What potential do I have? How is my relationship with God or your spiritual relationship with yourself? You know what I mean? Are you reading? Reading is super important. I'm not talking about 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
I'm talking about like philosophy. I'm talking about like, you know, I love Stoicism. That's, man, Stoicism is, I love that philosophy. Marcus Aurelius. This guy, I'm not sure if you ever read about him, Marcus Aurelius, man. Look into Marcus Aurelius, if you guys listening. Learning a little bit more about being a little bit more stoic. It's not just about our feelings. It's about getting things done. You know what I mean? Number one thing, gratitude. Number two would be, what do you want? What are you willing to do for it? And it starts with little things. You know what I mean? If you're having issues with drugs, and you're doing drugs every day, okay, I'm not going to do drugs on Tuesday. And then eventually, I don't do drugs on Tuesday. Eventually, I'm going to start only smoking cigarettes. I'm only going to do it now. Since I'm only doing it on Tuesdays, now I'm going to do it every other day. I'm not going to do it. People think that sometimes we get out of things and we get our blessings immediately. It doesn't work like that, man. Just like our wealth building, just like our relationship building, just like everything in life is by little itty bitty increments. So focus on, you know, have a system. That's one thing that my coach, his name is Chris Hart. Love him to death. Shout out to Chris Hart. He always says, man, it's not about goals. It's about the systems that you have in place to accomplish your goals. You know, so those are systems, only Tuesdays. Or guess what? Or now it's going to be only Tuesdays and Thursdays that I no longer do that. And then add one more day. And then I'll have systems in place. You know, get closer to God or to your spirituality, whoever you believe in. Get closer to that. What was the first one that I said? Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Systems.
Spirituality.
Systems and how to get out of things or how to stop doing things. It's not really so much what you need to do, it's what you need to stop. And then if you can find a mentor, if you cannot find a mentor, read books, man. Mm-hmm. Read books on self-development, you know, growing, you know, psychology, you know, understand why you feel the way you do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do hard things in life. Hard things in life, that's what make me feel better. Getting up at 5 in the morning, going to the gym. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? stop drinking. I stopped drinking now, you know, it's going to be 4 years that I don't
drink. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be 3 years now that I don't drink anymore. So do little things like that, that brings you confidence. The more confidence you get, the better you feel. Then the closer, you know, you attract, and I try to hang out with people that are doing better.
Actually, thank you.
Having conversations with that are doing better. You know, finding people like you and I, hey, okay, so what did you do? Well, tell me one thing that you stopped doing to get better. You know what I mean? So associations. My coach always says this. We get paid based on the value that we bring and also the identity that we have. Okay, great. So we have value, we have identity. But now how do I erase my identity? One is the people you surround yourself with. Two, the books that you're reading. And three, the meetings that you're attending. Meaning, who are you learning from? What are you learning? Who are you learning? You know what I mean? So that's pretty much what I have for that.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Definitely awesome. So lastly, we'll get into it a little bit. How can people, when we post this and publish this, mm-hmm. have all your contact?
Yeah.
What's so cool? How can people reach out to you?
You can reach out to me mainly on Instagram. So my Instagram, you can put it on the
bottom. Yeah, we'll put it on there. We'll take care of it.
Instagram.
Just like people now in the audience when they listen. Now, yeah. We'll have all that in there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Instagram. They can reach out through Instagram. I'm always, if it seems like an iffy page that it only has like, you know, 27 friends.
Oh, yeah.
I won't reply. I mean, depending, because, you know, people are trying to scam.
We call them on Clubhouse. I talk about Clubhouse. We call them bots.
Yeah.
Or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they're messaging bots. You trying to like, you know, whatever. I don't really.
Yeah.
Depends, because sometimes people are just starting their page.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but depends. Yeah. If they start asking me, if they ask me from the beginning, where are you from? I'm like, bro, I already know it's somebody from Nigeria. Not to say Nigeria, but somewhere that they're trying to scam and, you know, tell you that, oh, I'm going to teach you how to do this and that and invest. But just send me a message and I'll be more than happy to, you know, get in contact with you, reply. And you know, yeah, I'm more than happy to help.
Any last remarks, man, before we close it out?
I just want to say thank you so much, man, for opening up to me and telling me some, you know, some cool stories about, you know, overseas and just, you know, just being open with your struggles and giving me the opportunity to be in, you know, having this conversation with you. And hopefully we can, you know, like we were saying yesterday, as long as we're reaching out and bringing in value to one person, that's all that matters. You know, it's not really so much about how many people can we reach or how many likes can we get. It's about one person that one day will come to you in 20 years, 10 years, 15 years and say, Jake, thank you so much for that conversation, because thanks to that, my life changed. Thanks to that, now, you know, I became better. Thanks to that, you know, I have my own company now. And that's really what I shoot for, you know, bringing in value to somebody.
And lastly, this is one question I do want to ask. My apologies. Yeah. What, you know, moving forward, as mm-hmm. you know, when you and I talked offline about some of the things I'm doing and you're doing, what would you say, in your opinion? I love your feedback I've gotten from you. Yeah. You've listened to some of the episodes. Mm-hmm. Your opinion on all emotion, not me, all emotion, when you hear about it. Because a lot of people, what would you say to the audience that really, I don't really listen to podcasts, people, how would you recommend, because there's a lot of, not just myself, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very humble, you know, I try to be humble. There's a lot of really great podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. What about all emotion to you really stuck out, and how could you tell other people out there to take a listen?
You know, a lot of people are all about, oh, I'm an entrepreneur, I have this, and I have that, and I accomplish this, and I accomplish that. You know what I mean? I love that you're looking to solve a problem or help somebody, because that's what I'm in the business of, people, helping people. You know what I mean? I'm in the business of bringing in value to people and create leadership, because we need more leaders in this freaking country. The most beautiful country in the world, the best country in the world. You know what I mean? We need more leaders. So if we're helping somebody going, you know, getting through drug addiction, getting through PTSD, getting through depression, some type of way that we can bring value to them, even become more aware and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm going to start listening to more often. Oh, what books would you recommend, Oscar? Oh, I recommend this book. You know what I mean? Oh, I recommend this. You know, I recommend that. And then from that, it just starts to build and build and build and build. And like I said before, giving somebody an opportunity, not just, oh, I want to be on this podcast because it has so many listeners. Nah, man, we're builders. We're builders. We're building people. We're building, you know, we're building ourselves. We're building our communities, you know, and we're building this podcast. So if you guys are looking to learn from people in different industries, you know, if you don't have a mentor, you can get so many golden nuggets. I call golden nuggets for some wisdom that somebody has gone through and, you know, use it and apply it to your life. That's why I'm here. That's why I support you, and I always will support you, and I'll continue to support you. And, you know, I know you're doing great things. You're going to do great things. And one day we're going to sit back 10 years from now and be like, man, remember when we came in and we're, you know, we're having chicken and, you know, we're talking about this and that, and you know how, look at my studio now. And I see you doing great things, man, but always keep fighting for you and working on getting better. You know what I mean?
Right. And lastly, I apologize. Just, you know, want to touch on
a lot of apologies, man.
No, man, because you got the interview. I'm just focused on it. Sometimes, just really quickly, because
No, do your thing. I'm joking.
What you do?
Like, so what do I do?
Yeah, not yes. Please.
Okay, cool. So, I am a consultant. So I work for a financial agency. So, so what we do is, we represent multiple Fortune 500 life insurance and financial institutions. So what we do is what we see right now is that, you know, these companies are having a problem. And number one problem that they have is distribution.
Okay.
Why is that? Why are they having problems with distribution? So the average agent in the industry is a 61-year-old Caucasian. Obviously, nothing wrong with being white, nothing wrong with being 61, but they have one foot in, one foot out. They're about to retire. Right. So let me ask you this. Wouldn't you agree that typically we do business with people that look, talk, and act like us?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So if the average agent is a 61-year-old male, who's he usually marketing to?
Right.
Older males.
Correct.
So who's getting left behind?
Yeah.
With financial information? Women, millennials, Gen Zs, Gen Xers, and minorities. So what we're doing is we're bringing in financial education. We focus on financial education, you know, teaching our communities some concepts and strategies when it comes down to money, retirement, budgeting, life insurance. You know, did you know that life insurance is the easiest way to pass generational wealth?
Yeah.
And the cheapest way, right? So that's the information that we're sitting down, sharing with our clients. We're educating. We're not pushy. We're not salesy. Obviously, we do sales, but we never push anyone for anything. It's just educating, bringing in value. If they see value, they'll do business with us. If not, hey, I served this client as much as I could, and that's all I can do. So that's pretty much that's pretty much what we do.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, dude, this has been awesome.
Absolutely.
Obviously, really appreciate it. And want to just thank you again for doing the IG Live last night.
No, that was great. And we got to do it again.
I know I was sweating a lot. I was just so excited.
Nah, it's all good.
No, man. I really look forward. I'll just say all emotion because there's a team trying to build it, working with you. And
they'll say trying. You're doing it.
Thank you. Well, yeah, right. I didn't even remove that from my vocabulary.
Don't use that from thank in front you. Of me.
We are doing it. Thank you. Yeah, we are doing
You're
it.
Building it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And look forward to the things we talked about at lunch, about partnering on some things like we spoke about.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So again, thank you and your audience for the time.
Absolutely.
And thank you to my audience, All Emotion. Look forward for great episodes. And thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.